Okay, so we'll read this inside. So the Gemara Mem Tesa Mem Beis, right, is describing the process of the Kohen Gadol with the Ketores, and he has to maneuver it with his hands from the Bazach into the fire pan. And the Brace here gives us two different views, right? The first view is Tzovra Kedei Sheyehei Ashana, I guess, Shohalavo. Right, one view is that when he is getting the Ketores onto the fire pan, so one view is to pile up the incense in like a narrow stack, right? That's Tzovra. And the goal of doing that is so that the smoke takes a while to develop. V'yish omrim mifazra kedei shehe ashna mamaharis lavo. Right. The other view is that you scatter the incense right along the whole fire pan, so that all of it will ignite rapidly, and you'll have the smoke billow up very quickly. And the Braisa tells us that zoi avoda kasha shav mikdash. Right. So for our purposes, what we care about is that we have two views. One is that he's stacking the ketores, so you get a slow burn, and one is that he's spreading the ketores, so that you get a quick burn. Right, yeah, we're talking about this price is on Yom Kippur, right? He's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's doing the whole trick and shtick. Okay, so then we flip over to Nun Beis and Mebeis, and the Mishnah there. One second. Oh, there's the Mishnah. It's up on top. Right, so if you see by the Ein Mishpat bet, right, on the first, at the beginning of the line, right? So the Mishnah says that once the Kohen Gadol passes the Parochet, as we talked about, right, and he gets to the Aron, and he's between the poles, so Tzavar es Sekatores al Gabi Gachalim, right? So he piles up the Ketores, and it looks like the Mishnah Paskins like that first view of the Braisa, that you pile up the incense so that it does not all burn at once, right? And the Gemara notes this, right? The Gemara, on the bottom of the Amud, right, just the first line after the two dots, the Gemara says, "Oh, Tanan Kamanda Amar Tzovra." Right, so just four words there, saying, right, we had this machlokas back on Mem Tesa Mem Beis. Now we see that our mission is in accordance with the view that you pile it up and you don't scatter it out. Okay, so questions to ask is number one, like why do we do this, right? And number two, right, as Rakat said, we're talking right here about the Ketores of Yom Kippur, or the Ketores during the year, right? So I put the Me'iri in the Makoros in brackets. The Me'iri just gives you a technical reason why you would want a slow-burning Ketores. He says, well, if you have a rapidly burning Ketores, then the Kohen Gadol can die of smoke inhalation. Right? He says you don't want him to be sitting there and then all of a sudden, like, right, a whole giant plume of smoke comes up. That's very dangerous. Right, so for safety reasons, that's why we paskin that you should have a delay. If that's the case, then there's really not much else to talk about, and we can move on to sugya number two for tonight. But it seems like there's more, because the Mishnah in Tamid describes the regular protocol for daily ketores, and in the Mishnah in Tamid it appears that you are not piling up the ketores, but rather you are spreading it out evenly, right? It sounds like more like the position of mifazra, right? The Mishnah says in Tamid Vav Gimel, in the middle of the second line, hischil miradeid viotze, right? So he like lerdo, right, to flatten. So you spread out, you have a flat layer of ketores all along the whole mizbeach, which makes sense because, right, you want it to burn nicely and quickly and evenly, right? So that's what you do on every day of the year.
On the regular days of ketorah, we don't have the idea of like the smoke filling the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the same way, so that's different.
Yeah, so that's going to be the... So either way, you're going to have smoke piling up, right? In fact...
Yeah, but on Yom Kippur, like, the idea is that, like, the smoke has to fill the room. Like,
right.
There's not that same union with the
Kodesh. No, and that's exactly what we're going to zero in on, right? The fact that we have this halacha that the smoke has to fill the room, right? So if we see, which doesn't exist during the year, 100%, right? We'd love it if that played a role, and that's exactly what I'm going to argue is what's going on. You know, not me, it's what... I can argue what's going on. We just need to figure out, like, what that looks like. Like, what exactly does that mean? Why does needing a smoke-filled room lead to having a different Ketores process.
And maybe it's because like it's not just that the smoke has to fill the whole room with the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but it's that the Kohen has to be in there while the smoke is filling the whole room. The Kohen God has to be in there while the smoke is filling the whole room. And exactly what the Meir said, like, it's going to be dangerous if the smoke fills the whole room immediately. So like, in order for the Kohen to be able to stay in there while the smoke is filling the whole room, it has to be slow in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. But like, really, the ideal is probably like Kavitz Pazerat.
I guess I was a little unsure about that Meiri, because if he's staying in the room, then he stays in the room until the room fills with smoke.
No, but there's a difference between it exploding in his face and it slowly fills.
I suppose like he could hold his breath for 10 seconds and then step back, right? Like
the rapid fire burning is the problem. Either way, there's smoke inhalation, but the rapid fire burning is gonna like explode in his face, burn him.
Yeah,
I think are they like such reactive substances? I don't know. I'm thinking of like those like fire safety videos they show you with like
in lab,
the oven fires that like the gas fires that like leap up really quickly.
Yeah, I mean you're not throwing gasoline on it.
There are oils in it, no.
You're it's mostly herbs and spices with right and. One, the mala ashan herb, which we have to talk about, which some herb which specifically when burned right billows up a lot of smoke, but I would think that you could hold your breath for a few seconds and then step backwards. In other words, if the problem is specifically the rapid billow, because he's going to be in a smoky room, I didn't think that was such a compelling reason, but you know, I definitely could be wrong. Okay, so if we, and besides, we want to look to see if there's a more fundamental reason going on anyway. Okay, so we have the Mishnah, which seems to say that you spread the Ketores evenly, so you have a quicker smoke, and then you have our Gemara, which says for Yom Kippur that we have a different approach. The Rambam in Hilchos Tumim Musafin Paskins, like the Mishnah in Tamid, he says that you mashlich hakatoras ala ish benachas, right? It's like one who is sifting flour. It's a, you know, nice back and forth spreading of the ketores over the mizbeach. And in Yom Kippur, he paskins that you pile it up, right? He says soveres hakatoras al gabe hagachalim. You have it in a slow burning stack. Okay, so we have this. We have the Seder Avoda of the Talmud HaRashba, right? So I sent that out. We don't know who it is, obviously, but one Talmud HaRashba writes an extensive commentary where he describes what's going on in the whole Avoda. So he, when he gets to Ketores, he quotes these Rambams, and at first he's bothered, right? So he says, okay, you know, the Ishkach the Rambam, because he paskins like the Mishnayos, and we like when people paskin like the Mishnayos. Problem is that we don't like when you paskin like two Mishnayos, which contradict each other. Right, so why are you passing like the Mishnah in Tamid and passing like the Mishnah in Yoma and not explaining how those work? So then he says, "Oh, right, actually, I think that I can justify what's going on, right? Because when it's during the rest of the year, so then you want it to be, spread out, and when it's on Yom Kippur, you want it to be piled up. And why would that be? So he quotes a pasuk, right? He quotes the pasuk of Ki ba'anan ira'e. So he seems to think, I guess, it would be cool if we could do like an experiment to see how this looks. But I guess if you have like a, he thinks that you, by stacking the Ketores, you get more smoke. Your quantity of smoke has increased. Which I guess, you know, if it's like a slowly smoldering, right, you have the stuff on the top is burning and the stuff on top is slowly getting hot. So I guess that could cause a smokier fire, rather than if you just threw everything on the flames at once and it would burn and that would be it.
Yeah.
Right. So he argues that the goal of the stacking is to have more smoke, and you want more smoke, as the pasuk says, "Ki ba'anan ira'e kaporas." We want him to be in the room until the room is filled with smoke, and that's a chiyuv which just doesn't exist during the rest of the year. So that's why. That's why we have this difference between during the year and during Yom Kippur. we can say slightly differently from Talmud Rashi, right? So far we have the Meiri who thinks that the difference is just so he doesn't, so he's nice and safe. Talmud Rashi is saying we want more smoke to fulfill the din of Kibben Aner El HaKapores. The Rav, he doesn't really say it explicitly, but from the Rav I think you get the sense that there's a slightly different view from what Talmud Rashi was suggesting. We talked about this in the beginning of the year, right? The Rav's idea that the avoda of Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not really about the Ketores per se, but rather it is about the Ketores as the opportunity to be lifnai v'lifnim, right? That the goal is, as Pasuk says, right, bezos yabo aron, you're supposed to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Ketores is your kind of response and your reaction to that experience. And that the focus of the avoda is not the burning of the ketores per se, but rather it is the right walking into the kodesh hakadoshim, which has the status of avoda, and the standing there, and the leaving, and the burning, right? And that's why we saw that no one else is allowed to be in the heichal the entire time from the minute the kohen gadol walks into the kodesh hakadoshim, which is not the case. Not the case for regular Ketores. Regular Ketores, the Mishnah, that same Mishnah in Talmud talks about all his buddies who are there with him as he burns his Ketores every day. So we have this, right, this status of Avod the whole time. He's the focus on him being there and not on the burning of the Ketores. So the Rav in the Igros HaGrid, right, which is letters that we have from the Rav from, like, I think 1915 through 1941, so it's all stuff from when he was young. So in a letter in there, we have a proposal from him. Right, so in here he says that the difference we have between the Ketores during the year and the Ketores of Yom Kippur is the Ketores of the year, what's the avoda, right? What is the mitzvah, what is the avoda during the year? It is simply burn Ketores, right? And on Yom Kippur, that's not the case. On Yom Kippur, the avoda, right, part of the avoda is the standing there while the Ketores burns. If that's the case, then it would make a lot of sense that we would prioritize a Ketores burning technique, which allows him to stand there for longer, right? That it's not the quantity of smoke that we care about, per se, like Talmud Rashba argued. It is the fact that we want him to be lingering in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We want to stretch out the process of Achias Male Habayas Ashan Kol as much as possible, right? We want it to be a slow burning process that he is standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim the entire time, right? That Shehiyah, that waiting in there, is part of the avoda itself, which doesn't exist during the year. Because during the year, the mitzvah is just burn it and walk out. During the year, the whole focus is to come in and to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You want the technique which is going to make that last. And in fact, it's possible. Like, why is there this machlokas, right? The fact there's a machlokas, do you want sovra or do you want mefazra, indicates that there is an advantage to the other side, right? That there's a reason why you would want the other side. There's a reason why we do the other side year-round. Which is probably what? Like, what's the advantage of spreading it evenly over piling it in a narrow stack? Yeah, you get a more effective, more efficient burning process, right? So we are sacrificing something, right? We are sacrificing to get the Kohen Gadol to linger in the base in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? And we're sacrificing the efficiency of the Maisa HaKtara, right? Now that is something that we'll be totally okay with if we say that in the Ketores of Yom Kippur, the focus isn't really on the Maisa HaKtara at all. Right, it's the Haktara as a means to getting him to being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? As opposed to during the whole year, where the whole year, no, the focus is completely on the Maisa Haktara, and that's why all you do is you spread the Ketores evenly, and then you walk out of the room. Okay, so that's I think, the third perspective on Sovra Kachalim, which we get from the letter of the Rav. Just it's good to know, because this gets quoted kind of often in the Grizz, right? So we know in the back of the Grizz there are a bunch of letters, right, which I think take up the last 15 pages of the Sefer or so. And three of the letters here were written as responses to the Rav, right? The Rav sent his uncle letters, and then the Brisk Rav sent his responses. And you can tell which ones are being sent to the Rav, because the ones that are sent to other people, you know, start off with like, okay, so you wanted to say X, but you're wrong, and I want to say Y. And the ones which are sent to the Rav start off by saying, you know, this one starts with, you know, Chazisi liakiri, and you know, I saw my, and then the next one is Rabos hisanakti al chidushei Torah shel yakiri, and he gets very excited for his nephew's chidushei Torah. This one was written. This letter was written in El of Taf Resh Pei Aleph. So that would be 1921. So the Rav would be 18 and a half. Okay, nice. So our chedesh came from Rav when he was 18 and a half. So then the Risk Rav takes a bit of a different approach to the Rav. He doesn't think that the avoda is the lingering in the Kodesh HaKadoshim per se. He doesn't think that you linger in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as part of that's an avoda. Rather, he thinks that the avoda of burning the Ketores requires staying there until the burning is done. He thinks that whenever you do an avoda on Yom Kippur, you have to stay there until it's done. So, for example, when we send the Sarim Shaleach out to the boondocks, so the Kohen Gadol has to stay there, like, waiting for a while, because you can't move on from an avoda until it's completed. So he says the Ketores of the year is different in terms of what you have to burn than the Ketores of Yom Kippur. Ketores of the year, you burn it, and that's the action. Ketores of Yom Kippur, you have to burn it and have the room fill with smoke. So he thinks the Kohen Gadol has to be staying there, not because the avoda is for the Kohen Gadol to stay there, but rather he thinks that it's because the Maisa avoda of Ketores of Yom Kippur is burning it until smoke fills the room. Either way, right? We have you know, the smoke more prioritized, but I think you'd say that the way the Grizz is learning this, you'd want to take Talmud HaRashba's approach more likely, right? That since the avoda is to be in to have the Ketores burn until the room fills with smoke, burn it in a way that you will get the most smoke possible. Right, as opposed to the Rav, who's saying, no, it's not that the avoda is to burn it until the room fills with smoke, but rather the avoda is to stand in the room while the smoke fills the room.
Is the Rav right. Burning a specific side?
So I think the Grizz's understanding, let's just be clear, the Grizz's understanding is during the year, the act of burning is to just burn it. And during Yom Kippur, the avoda is to burn it until smoke fills the room. You stay in the room because you have to stay while avoda is happening, and the avoda is burning Torah till the smoke fills the room. So that, I would think, connects better with the Talmud HaRashba's understanding that we're trying to have as much smoke as possible, and that's why we have this different technique. The Rav thought, no, you're staying in the Kodesh HaKadoshim not because you have to stay there while the avoda of burning happens, but because the standing in and of itself is the avoda, right? You're not standing waiting for the avoda to finish. You're standing as the avoda, and if that's the case, then you would want that to be prolonged, right? We're having a slow burning smoke so that we can stretch out your experience of being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim as much as possible.
Why would that stem with the Talmud HaRashba? I mean, like it seems like what Rebelbo is saying is not. It stims just as well as the Talmud HaRashba as the way the Rav would. Like, the Talmud HaRashba is saying it's all about the smoke filling up, right? And, like, both Revelvel and the Rav are, it's, like, kind of coincidentally.
In theory, it could, but, look, when you pile up the smoke, so two different, when you pile up the Ketores, two different things happen, right? Just reality-wise. Number one, you'll have more smoke. Okay. Number two, it's going to take longer to burn.
Okay.
Right? So, I'm arguing that the Rav's understanding of why you're standing there makes it more likely that I'll prioritize the length it takes to burn,
as opposed to the
quantity of smoke, which Talmud HaRashba emphasizes, and I think the Grizz would probably emphasize as well. Okay, fine. So it's 9:32. So that was efficient. So that's Tovah Rav Gachalim, difference between Ketores of the Year and Ketores of Yom Kippur. Okay. What?
That was it?
That was it for topic one. We're trying to do it quickly.
No.
Okay.
I'm just getting started.
Now we move on to topic two, which I don't know how on earth we can do this in half an hour or 27 minutes. But we'll try to do our best. We'll do what we can do. Okay. Were you guys able to see the Gemara on Nun Gimel or not?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Square one. Okay, so you should see it if you can, because besides being relevant for the sugya, there are some great stories. Nadav and Avihu come up, so that's going to be relevant to next week's parsha, and the tzeduki habit of violating Torah Shebaal Peh also comes up. What?
Habit? It's just a habit.
They couldn't shake it. It was annoying. It was like sick. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now maybe we'll just read. Let's read the beginning of the Gemara. And then that will serve as a launching point. This is Gemara that everyone needs to know when they learn Yom anyway. So let's see. So we start with Tanur Rabbanan. So it's the first line on Nun Gimel Amid Aleph. I'll read it. I'll try to read it. Let me know if I'm going too quickly. Okay. So says the Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan. V'nasa nesektores ala ish lefnei Hashem. Right. So the pasuk says, right, you put the ktores on the fire before God. Shelo yitaki mi bachutz v'yachnes. So what we understand that to mean is that you have to put the ktores on the fire inside the Kodesh HaKodashim, right? You can't do it outside in the Kodesh. Now, why do we have to say this? Lohos, which is what the pasuk says explicitly, right? You put the Ketores on the fire before God. So why would we think otherwise? So lohotzi miliban shel tzedukin, right? This is to get us out of the approach of the tzedukim. She'omrim yitakin mibachot v'yachnes, right? Because they thought that indeed you were supposed to ignite the Ketores outside, and then bring your already burning Ketores into the Kodesh HaKodashim. My darish, what did they darshin? Which I think is a little bit of a shtach to the Tzedukim, right? Because Tzedukim say, no, we don't darshin Pesukim, right? We just say the Pshuto Shal Mikra, right? But so what kakamini drasha did the Tzedukim come up with to justify this practice? So it says the pasuk ki be'anan, Era el hakapores, right? I will appear in cloud on top of the Aron. Melamed sheitakim b'chutz v'yachnes, right? So they thought that pasuk told you that you have to have the cloud already ready to go. You have to have your smoke already billowing when you walk into the Kodesh HaKadashim, and that's why they thought the pasuk said that I will appear in a cloud on top of the kaparas. Amrim chachamim halok v'nemar v'nasan and sektores al ha'ish lifnei Hashem, right? So the chum say, right? Pasuk says explicitly that you burn the ketores Lifnei Hashem. So how are you saying you do it outside? So, okay, the Tzedukim responded, Imkein, Ma tam lomar ki ba'anan e'ra'e al hakapores. So if that's the case, right, so what do you do with our pasuk? What do you do with the pasuk that I will appear in a cloud over the Aron? So the Chazal answered, Malamed sheno sein ba ma'le ashan. Right, so that pasuk tells you that you have to include Ma'ale Ashan into your Ketores. So Ma'ale Ashan, which is this, right, if you think of what we say in davening, right, Ma'ale Ashan Kol Shehu, right, the herb which causes smoke to rise. Okay, continues the Gemara. Uminayin Shenosim B'Ma'ale Ashan. So now we kind of shift out. Where we know that we have to put in Ma'ale Ashan, the smoke-raising herb, Shenemar, V'chisa Anan HaKetores Es HaKapores. So the Gemara gives a different pasuk, right? That the cloud will cover the kapores. So halo nosan ba mal ashan o chiser achas. Also now chayav misa, right? So we learn from here that if you don't have the full ketores, then there's a chayav misa b'deishamayim. Okay, then the Gemara goes on for a little bit. Then the Gemara asks, wait a second, why do we have two pasukim telling me that I need Mala Ashan, right? One was V'chisa Anan HaKetores, and one was Kiba Anan Ne'er HaKapores. And then the Gemara gives five different views in the Amoraim, what those two Pesachim are teaching me, right? Are they teaching me that I need to have, I could use either the stem of the plant and the leaf of the plant, or is it telling me that one is in the Mishkan and one is during all eternity, or is it telling me that one is on Yom Kippur, one is during the year, or is it telling me that one is for the mitzvah and one is for the ikuva or something else? Or one for azhara and one for the onesh. Fine. Bottom line is that we have this requirement for mala ashan, right, the smoke-raising herb to be in the ketores, and if it's not there, there's a chiyav misa b'dei shamayim. That's what we get from here. Now, the problem is, take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perek Beis Lachachas. Lachachas, yeah, I'll start with Lachachas. It is in the source class.
Read it. Sure, I'll read it. Okay. Okay. Shel Koshahu Pasla. Put in honey into it, puzzle.
Yeah.
Kisa Achad Samneha Chayavita. So we say it's in Makaturet. Nisa Achavisa Share.
So what does that mean?
If you lack, if you forget to put any of them or whatever not put in, then you're Chayavisa.
Right. If you don't put in one of the wets, what are some of mine?
Of the spices.
Yeah, you open one of the spices, you're chayav misa. And that's right. We know this because this is in Pita Maktaris. Where does Pita Maktaris come from?
So,
Brysa.
Brysa.
Yeah. Croesus 6b.
Oh.
Right.
Is that the only place that Brysa shows up?
I think so. I mean, I don't know elsewhere in Chazal. Mm-hmm. But in the Gemara, it's. I don't. Tosefta, I don't know. But it's a Croesus Vavamid base. Right. So as we you know, right, we say it every Shabbos. Okay, fine. Now contrast that with Avodas Yom Kippurim Hei Chafe. What does he say there?
Okay, there you go.
I'll show you again. Yeah, sure. I was going to read the next little source right here.
Chasam min hakutaret achamisamneha ubaala ashan chayav.
Yeah, one word. Okay, thoughts? Yeah, right. How come he mentions Malash and Yom Kippur? He doesn't mention Malash and Klei HaMikdash.
Maybe only Yom Kippur.
So, maybe only Malash and Yom Kippur. That would be a little surprising because the Gemara was talking of. The Gemara learned the Chi of Misa Bidei Shamayim for having the wrong Ketores from our Gemara. Okay. Our Gemara is the source that if you bring the wrong Ketores, that's a Chi of Misa. But Raquel's right. The Ram seems... If Ram had only said Samaneha, right, and never mentioned Mala Ashan, so I would have thought that that includes Mala Ashan. Right? Yeah, Mala Ashan is one of the ingredients in the Ketores. But the fact that he explicitly, right, individually mentions in Avodas Yom Kippurim indicates that that Malashan is actually separate. So the question we have to ask is basically what this boils down to is what do we call the Chafetz of Ketores, right? What's Ketores and what's not? So think about what we say in Pitam Ketores, right? So what stuff do we have in the Pitam Ketores, Brysa? Ginamon, yeah, right. So we have a bunch of spices. Sorry, it's Poranach, exactly. And then afterwards, we have a few things which are there for utilitarian purposes, right? Like thing like
wine to make it
exactly, right?
The more liquidy,
mm-hmm.
No
maraglan,
but not yeah, but no
right, exactly. Maraglan would be the ideal substance, right? But we don't use that, right? So I think we use Carcinian lye or whatever it is. Right, so it seems like we have two groups of ingredients in the Ketores, right? One are the spices which create the aroma, and one are the side ingredients which are there to maximize the aroma of those spices, right? And Mala Ashan is kind of in neither category because Mala Ashan is not creating smell, but it's also not amplifying smell, it's doing a totally separate function, right? It's maximizing smoke. So what's part of Ketores and what's not part of Ketores? That's a very basic question. If you look in the beginning of Klei HaMikdash, Perek Bat, right? So look at Halacha Aleph, Halacha Beis. So what is the implication that you get from there?
There are 11 things that you must have an exact portion.
Right, so Achara Sarumana Nerlo Moshe Sinai, and then Mosifin Imahen, right, and then we add on these other things, right, the Malach Sodomis, and the Kippas HaYardin, and the Mala Ashan. So we have 11 Samamanin, and then we have these three add-ons. So when the Rambam in Klei HaMikdash Perek Beis Halacha Ches tells you chisra achas misamneha or samamneha chayav misa. So what are the samamanim? That's those 11 things, presumably, right? So it sounds like if you failed to put Melech Sodomis in the Ketores, would you be chayav misa? Seems like no, right? Explanation we propose. Yeah, it's not part of the Chavsa Shal Ketores, right? The Ketores requires it, but it's not part of the Ketores. So you haven't offered, right, what does Rambam call this in Halacha Ches? Chisra chavmisamana, chavmisa sharinasis, ketores zara, right? You've attacked the Chavsa Shal Ketores itself. If you're missing one of the add-ons, it's not ketores zara, it's ketores, just that's missing one of the things which maximizes its impact. And apparently, right, so then what about Ma'ala Ashan? So what's Ma'ala Ashan status during the year?
It's one of those hours.
The Pashas, you're not Chayiv Misa, right? So we'll say the Ma'ala Ashan is not part of the Ketores. So...
it's not the same all the time?
Yeah.
This is disproving our assumption that the Ketores is the same all the time, like... Are we going on that assumption?
We better assume it's supposed to be the same all year round. Right, and when they would grind it, they'd grind enough to have like 365 mana, I think, or 368 mana, 365 for the days of the year, and then an extra 3 for Yom Kippur. So your ingredients are the same. The question is, what's the halachic status of those ingredients? So the Mishnah Melech, which Rabbi's not going to read all of, but the Mishnah Melech has like an essay. And then I realized when I put in the source code, so I checked on the word count function, I'm like, oh, like it's a 2,500 word Mishnah Melech. Like that, yeah. That's actually, you know, when I edited Beis Yitzchak, we had a 3,000 word limit. So he's pushing that. But the Mishnah Melech quotes the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef and Or HaChaim, who's talking about, I guess, Taurus in davening. I looked at the Beis Yosef earlier, but not right now. And he quotes the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef says, hey, look, according to the Rambam, if you don't put in the add-ons, you haven't even violated anything. Like, it's b'di'evet, I guess, but you haven't violated any avera, let alone a chi of misa. So the Mishnah Melech goes ballistic, and he says, like, how on earth can you say that? Like, no Ma'ala Ashan, like, how can you say that no Ma'ala Ashan, you're pater? Like, he didn't look at, you know, Yuma Nun Gimel, where we learned the Chi of Misa B'Yeshamayim from the Pasuk in Devoras Yom Kippurim. Like, how on earth can you say that? So he gets very upset. He has a really interesting discussion. One proof which the Beis Yosef quotes, you're familiar with the story of Beis Aftinas?
One of the...
Yeah, exactly, right? So they wanted to make the Ketoret, and
they wouldn't share their family secret.
So,
Chazan... Make sure to make note of that.
What?
Basically, make sure to make note of that.
Yeah.
Right, that's the point.
Yeah, we keep that...
That's their punishment.
Memorialized. Uh-huh. So, one day, so they wanted to double their salary. So, we said no. So, they walked out, and they went on strike. So now we had a problem because we had no Ma'ala Ashan makers, right? So the Gemara says that they
only made Ma'ala Ashan, not the Ketoret.
They made the Ketoret, but the reason why was because only they had the secret of Ma'ala Ashan.
Okay.
So they knew like the proper herb to use.
It's the same thing with Lechem HaPanim also, right?
It's the same.
So some mention on Yoma. There's like four families.
Right.
Starts with a cliff and above. I don't remember.
Bilgus is one, and Bilgus got the ring closed off. Yeah.
There's also
Cargo, something like that.
Right. Then you ship the people. Cargo, you have the person who could sing and could do the bread, and the person who could write Hashem's name
with
simultaneously. Yeah, cool people. Or not cool, because we don't like them. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, so the Chazal are, so they're in trouble because we need Ketores, and Beis Aftinas is out. So the Gemara says they brought in the Chachmei HaUmos from Alexandria, right? So they brought in the non-Jewish scientists from Alexandria, and they were purported experts in Ma'ala Ashan, but their Ma'ala Ashan fizzled, right? It didn't... It billowed, but it wouldn't go straight up. Right? So they were able to create a lot of smoke, but it would just go out to the sides, right? Part of the beauty of the Ma'ala Ashan was that it would also rise in a nice column. So Chazal had no choice, right? They caved into the demands of Beis Aftinas, and they brought them back to do their Torahs at whatever rate they demanded.
Is that something that Machon Mektash knows anymore?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know. Fascinating.
Probably.
So, but the Beis Yosef argues, is he says, well, wait a second. When they used the knockoff Mala Ashan, so they had to have used it in a real, in a live Ketores, right? Because we know, Lachas, you're not allowed to simulate Ketores, right? You can't burn Ketores unless you're burning Ketores in the, on the Mizbeach, right? So how do we have a case where they experimented with the Mala Ashan of the Chachmei Umos of Alexandria? Must be that they did that day's Ketores, and that day's Ketores didn't have a successful smoke raising. So okay, right, that's unfortunate. And then the next day, they brought in Beis Aftinas. So what does that tell me? That tells me that they thought that they were still Yotze, the day's Ketores, despite the lack of a viable Mala Ashan. Right, that's one of the Beis Yosef's proofs, that Mala Ashan is external to daily Ketores. So Mishnah Malach says, well, that's a bad proof, because maybe they just, you know, they caved in, they brought Beis Aftinas in right away, right? Like that day, they express taxied Beis Aftinas back to Beis HaMikdash to have them burn a new Ketores for that day. So he says, that's not a riot. But it's inspiring, his intellectual honesty, because he starts off being very angry with Beis Yosef, and he says, like, no ra'os niflesi, like, I really, you know, I'm totally stunned that he could say such a thing. But then he opens up the Rambams that we saw, and he makes the same diukim that we did in Avodas Yom Kippurim versus Klei Mekdash, and he's like, hey, that's what the Rambam seems to say. Right? The Rambam does seem to distinguish between the Ketores of the year versus the Ketores of Yom Kippur, and seems to only have a Mala Ashan problem on Yom Kippur, which is surprising because, among other things, the Chi of Misa comes from our Gemara and Yuma, right? So how can we have the yearly Chi of Misa come from our Gemara, but say that when it comes to Mala Ashan, Yom Kippur needs it, and during the year, you don't? Like, how does that make any sense? Is one of the things which is really primarily bothering him.
Why is it necessary for us to learn anything at all if we like talk about the Beit HaMikdash like we have before, that like not necessarily every detail they're so concerned with, like the, like if we like look at the Avodah in like a more cynical way of like these were people that like didn't care as much about like being so mocked on like certain things, like why is he assuming, like I guess, like what's the question, like you remember you guys were like that I thought like the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash was like everyone did it properly, and then like you guys said, like historically, like that's not like the case. So why is he assuming?
Oh, meaning maybe like, his response, maybe they could say the Beis Yosef's raya was a bad raya because
maybe they're just not doing it properly.
Well, they don't think that.
No,
we
well,
have historical cynicism.
It seems like the good guys were in charge at that point, because the Gemara talks about how the Chachamim were trying to find the proper Mala Ashan. So it sounds like, you know, that was one of the, yeah, I mean, the Beis HaMikdash actually took turns, right, between the bad guys and the good guys. He has a really interesting discussion of the Gemara, but we haven't seen the Gemara, so we won't go into the nuts and bolts of how he works through the sugya. But is there anything else I can say? I guess not. So the... So what's the basic argument going to have to be that we're going to make? If we're going to say that we learn from Yuma, from our Gemara, that Ketores during the year has a Chiyuv Misa if you don't bring it properly. But we're also going to say that when the Gemara in Yuma said that you need Mala Ashan, that only applied to Yom Kippur. So how could that be the case? How could we say that, oh, year-round you have to have the proper ingredients and without them you're done, but on Yom Kippur you need Mala Ashan and during the year you don't? Exactly. So we're going to say that we have two different... The ingredients may all be the same, but on Yom Kippur, the Ma'al Hashem becomes part of the Ketores itself. And during the year, it's a side ingredient, right? It plays a side role, right? The main... and which makes... this makes a lot of sense given what we talked about the first half tonight, right? During the year, the main avoda is to have the Ketores be ignited. And then there's a side feature, which is that we have a nice, you know, billowing smoke. But during on Yom Kippur, the smoke issue is not a side feature at all, right? That's core to the avodah of the Ketores itself on Yom Kippur. So therefore, the Mala Ashan, even though it doesn't create any smell, is still part of the Chafza of Ketores. So during the year, if you're missing your Mala Ashan, that's not going to be considered a Ketores Zara, right? Your Ketores is good, you're missing an ingredient. But on Yom Kippur, Mala Ashan becomes integrated as part of the Ketores itself, and therefore, if you're missing Ketores, if you're missing Mala Ashan on Yom Kippur, it's going to be considered a Ketores Zara. That's basically the argument that the Mishnah Malach develops. We were just adding on to it a little bit. But I said, after all, if you look in Masechta Krisos, right, the Brisa there, right, the Pitum Ketores Brisa. The implication there, indeed, was that Mala Ashan was something separate, right? So, like, why is Mala Ashan separate in Krisos, but, you know, highlighted in Yuma? So the answer is going to be that one is the Ketores of the year, and one is the Ketores of Yom Kippur. And I think this all fits nicely with what we were saying before about the role of the smoke and the Kohen Gadol standing there in the Kodesh HaKodashim, etc. Let me just make sure there are no other... Yeah, and there are a few, but yeah, he has one. I'll show you this thing. It'll take 1 minute, and it'll end. He says one great line at the very, very end. If you go all the way down to the last paragraph, the very, very last paragraph in the source quotes, yeah, but the last paragraph is 2.5 lines, so it's okay. But it's just, it's a good line that Shalom Malch ends off with. So he quotes the Beis Shin. The Beis Shin is the Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva lives, I think, in the 1500s, 1600s or something, Ottoman Empire. His goal is, he says, in Masechta, which don't have Tosfot, I'm going to write Tosfot. So that's why we have... If you see a Be'er Sheva, you know you're in like exotic territory. Masechas Krisos doesn't have Tosfos really. So he says, "Reisi the Rav Baal Be'er Sheva Chidusha LeKrisos Shatam Al Devri Maran." Right. So the Be'er Sheva attacked the Beis Yosef. Right. He couldn't believe the Beis Yosef's idea that you would be pater for not having Mala Ashan in your year-round Ketores. The Kasav Shemadiv Rabbeinu Nera Da'af Bechis Mala Ashan Chayev Misa. He says, no, right, according to the Rambam, really year-round, you will be Chayev Misa if you don't have Mala Ashan. Uvar Ksan Alel Shemadiv Rabbeinu Nera Shabashari Mal Shana Leika Chayev Misa Bechis Mala Ashan. Right, we already wrote that Beis Yosef was right. According to the Rambam, you are Pater. If you don't have Mala Ashan during the year, you only need it during Yom Kippur. And then he says, V'divrei Maran, right, in the words of the Beis Yosef, Hein Hein Hadvarim Shenamru LeMoshe. Right, so, the words of Beis Yosef are indeed the words which were said to Moshe, which is a great pun, because who's the Moshe he's referring to here? The Rambam. But he's also connecting to the Halacha Moshe Sinai of what are the required ingredients in the Ketores. So all around a good football spiking from the Mishnah, who starts off the piece like attacking the Beis Yosef for daring to think that Mala Ashan your pater for not having during the year, and then he ends off by spiking the football to Be'er Sheva for daring to think that the Beis Yosef was wrong. Okay, sorry, so just to sum up, so I think both sukkahs are getting to the same core point, which is that the Ketores of Yom Kippur is not about the act of burning, but really it's about being either, you know, generating the smoke, or I think more fundamentally, being in the Kodesh HaKadosh and being Lefnai V'Lefnim, and that requires a more drawn out or more smoky Ketores burning, and it creates a different Chavta Shal Ketores. Oh, the Mishnah Malchus also points out, after all, he says, the Ketores of Yom Kippur, it's a different shear during the year, right? We have the hands full instead of the maneh, and you have the different process. You have the chafina, which is required to get to it. So it makes sense that you also have a difference, not just in terms of the mice of the Ketores. He says it shouldn't be crazy for us. I think there's a difference in terms of the chafts of the Ketores as well. And it's a chafta difference, which we're arguing really is like core to the Ketores of Yom Kippur. Okay. Chag Kasher Sameach. Thanks for making it out tonight. You.